This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. Earlier today, we began our series on the growing opiate problem in Vermont. We're continuing that discussion now with a man whose job description falls squarely within the realm of preventing drug trafficking and arresting those responsible. But as you'll realize when you hear him talk about the problem, Detective Lieutenant John Merrigan, commander of the Vermont State Police Narcotics Investigation Unit, has a far broader understanding of and sympathy for the people who get caught up in the devastating effects of dangerous drugs like heroin and other opiates. This is the second discussion I've had in recent months with John Merrigan. Since we last spoke, Vermont received a $1.4 million federal grant that will help pay for 5 new investigators to be assigned to the Vermont Drug Task Force. But the grant funds those positions for 2 years before it's up for renewal, and Merrigan says there is no reason to think the money will be available a second time around. There are currently 18 full-time narcotics officers working in Vermont, including commanders like Merrigan. And even though Vermont is a small state, those numbers are not enough to stem the tide. Merrigan says efforts to fight back against the heroin epidemic are yielding good results, but those results are relative when put in the context of a much bigger social problem.
The success is, it's how you look at it and how you measure your own particular success. We've been successful because we've really improved our partnerships with the federal agencies, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the local agencies, and so now we're a much more efficient heroin investigating machine than we were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But having said that, there's still more heroin here today than there was 6 months ago, and I think there's going to be more heroin in 6 months from now than there is now.
Yeah, I mean, that it seems a bit strange. I understand what you're saying, and you sound optimistic about the funding and about the approach that's being taken, but it's hard to define and say it's successful when you're saying that, yeah, there's going to be more heroin in this area possibly 6 months from now.
Right. For us, and when I say us, I don't mean just law enforcement, but I mean the treatment folks and the education folks. For us to really be successful, we're going to need the kind of funding and support that it's not possible to have. It's not there. Vermont's not a rich state. We don't have a great tax base. And there's no place to go for it. So Senator Leahy's office wrote this grant for the whole nation. We were lucky, and we got awarded a part of this grant to help. We're really fortunate to get that. We're ahead of the game in some other places. But, you know, like a lot of places and a lot of different social problems, at the end of the day, you're limited by the amount of resources you have to work on it. And right now, we're outnumbered by the number of people that want to sell heroin in Vermont by quite a significant margin.
And by the demand as well, right? I mean, there's a market for this.
Of course, that's the big problem, right? Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what these 5 additional investigators will do, because we hear about that and we think, well, that's good. There's, you know, 5 more people on the ground, as you say, to help. But what's the actual approach they're taking? Are we talking about primarily going after traffickers, targeting users, doing undercover sting operations, all the above? What are they actually going to be doing?
Right. So without giving away the farm, because the nature of undercover work and narcotics work, there is some, you know, element of secrecy that goes along with that. But generally speaking, these units, they're separate from your average state police barracks or even the BCI folks, the guys that investigate homicides and major crimes. They're completely separate from that. So they don't look the same. They don't have the same responsibilities. But their day-to-day activities are the same as any cop, only a very, very narrow field. So in this narrow field, which in today's drug world is almost exclusively on the heroin problem. So when you ask, is it traffickers, is it users, is it the middlemen, it's a little bit of everything with an eye towards the traffickers is what we really need to get after and get these people wrapped up. Sometimes you end up with middlemen in between in an effort to get there. Does that make sense?
Do you mean like you end up with the middlemen and then you hope that they will end up cooperating with you in exchange for like a lighter sentence of their own and to get bigger fish?
That's exactly what we're looking for. In some other instances, we're looking just for better information about the path of travel of certain traffickers use to help us interdict them in those ways. So there isn't any cop that's doing drugs full-time in Vermont that's looking to put any addict or user that's not moving a significant amount of heroin in jail. It's counterproductive for us, and I don't think it's helpful to them.
Yeah, you're just clogging up the system that way. And as we talked about before, these are folks that need treatment. They don't need incarceration necessarily.
That's right. that's exactly how we all feel.
I'm curious about what happens when a big successful drug bust is made. And we have heard that there's been some recent success and some busts of drug traffickers, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes, there has.
Once that happens, and you stop a big ring, let's say that's coming from New York, the Bronx or something, what's the biggest challenge once you've made a big drug bust? You know, how do you build on that?
The answer is a little complicated because there isn't a unified, structured group that we're dealing with someplace else. In classic drug distribution from the 90s, you would get groups that would come up to Vermont, but they would come up in a group, and they would have their own hierarchy when they arrived. So if there was a group of gang members coming from Western Mass and settling in Brattleboro, they would have the guy that was in charge, maybe an enforcer, some people that were in charge of street operations, hand-to-hands out on the street, and some people that were in charge of recruitment, getting people to help move their drugs. That was pretty easy to investigate because once you got one, if you stayed there long enough, you'd get them all. It's a matter of time before they all show up in the middle of your drug deals. And through undercover operations, you get them all wrapped up into a nice, neat conspiracy. When we were doing that, we didn't realize how good we had it. Now, it's an idea. And we're talking about a group of people that didn't grow necessarily, all of them, grow up in Vermont. People that grew up in really poor socioeconomic circumstances, maybe third, fourth generation drug dealers from their families that grew up in the projects. This is what they do. This is what they know. They're not afraid of getting a police record. They're not afraid of going to jail for a while. As a matter of fact, for a lot of these people that are moving the significant weights into Vermont, jail time that comes with the territory. It's a matter of course. It's going to happen. It's an accepted risk. These guys come, they work independently. And I think we spoke last time about the infrastructure that Vermont provides your average drug dealer from out of state that wants to come here with quantity. And that infrastructure really is our own people, us. We're a consumer state. When we don't produce heroin, we got to get it from someplace else. It doesn't come here in bulk generally, from out of country. So as addicts, we need these dealers to come up. We want to give them a place to stay for free. We want to give them rides around town. We want to introduce them to our friends who they can sell to, because that means that heroin for us, for me and you as the addict, is cheaper and it's easier to get. And you don't have to worry about having to trip down to the city every couple of days so you don't get sick. And of course, that's another big component is people are motivated to do this because it's cheaper and it's reliable heroin, a reliable source. And that's a big deal if you're a heroin addict. Being sick is no joke.
And of course, the nature of the drug itself is such that people get hooked so easily. I imagine, it's not going to be a situation where you can say, hey, why doesn't the community help us out? In a large part, the community itself is addicted.
Right. There's a large segment of the community that is addicted. And it's not always practical to think that we're going to get that kind of help. Not everybody wants to get involved in this anyway. We're not always dealing with people that are making good decisions. Not everybody, but a lot of these people are dangerous. And at the same time, the heroin that's here now is, I think the last is 300% more powerful than the heroin of 1985, and even more so than 1975 that's available now. So there's a ton of it, it's better, and there's a huge demand for it.
And a lot easier to get. Last time we spoke, you told me that high school students can get heroin pretty easily.
Yeah, that's right. A high school student is as likely to get heroin as they are a 12-pack of beer.
One more question for you. It's a big one. It's probably tough to answer. What do you think it will take to kick this problem?
Yeah, it's a big question. And we can't give up on the unified approach we have. Law enforcement's doing the best we can, but we can do things better. But we're not really equipped to solve the social problem that's heroin addiction. We're equipped to combat the traffickers. In certain circumstances, help the addict and the user either get treatment or get out of trouble and get themselves in a position where they're going to treatment instead of jail. We can help there. But the treatment is a big component right now because we have so many addicts. But we've got to stop people from wanting to try it. And I don't know how you do that. I'm not sure how we do that.
Detective Lieutenant John Merrigan, commander of the Vermont State Police Narcotics Investigation Unit. I want to thank you so much for the time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks very much, Mitch.